This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Though we have a clip, you want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
Certainly a lot of clips came out from yesterday's hearing about the Save College Sports Act. This is the one that kind of threw me for a loop, Michael. I find myself wondering why Pete Bavakwa, the athletic director for Notre Dame, is like so gung-ho on the side of Congress, really, it sounds like, which is crazy to me because a lot of these moves would severely impact Notre Dame's existence and how they operate. Here's what he had to say. I'm just going to play it and we'll react to it. Here's a clip from yesterday, just talking about a little bit of everything.
My second concern is if you want to truly maximize the media value around the largest sport in terms of eyeballs, which is college football, I do think the best way to do that is a Super League. And I certainly don't want a Super League. I'm not sure anybody necessarily wants a Super League. Flooding the market, aggregating the market, bringing it to an aggregate form to major media companies, I'm not sure that's going to drive the value. Some say it will. If you wanted to maximize media value around college football, I think you would take 24 to 30 teams, create unbelievably competitive scheduling where a team like Notre Dame would play Alabama, Georgia, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, and start to get a number that more closely resembles an NFL number. I could be right, I could be wrong, but that's why I was encouraged that it's a voluntary application and that a lot more work could be done over the course of the next series of years to see if the value could prove itself out.
I feel like he's talking out both sides of his mouth, Michael. Saying, hey, you want to maximize the most out of this? Super League. Not saying I want that. I think it would flood the markets and blah, 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 blah. But that's what would probably yield you the most. What did you make of that? Like, I'm confused why he's there.
Sounds like he wants to join. Like, it sounds like he realizes that NBC might be, I don't know about this Notre Dame thing. It sounds like he might see the future and see the future as big conferences, and perhaps
teams.
Notre Dame wants to join and play some of those big games.
That's him, in my mind, that's him setting himself up and Notre Dame up for a potential leap if the SEC and the Big Ten go breakaway. That's him saying, because I think it was in reference to the pooling of the media rights, which is one of the pieces of language in this proposal, is that college football would hold the cards, not the SEC and not the Big Ten. When it comes to media contracts, he's saying it right there. What would be the most beneficial is scheduling Notre Dame and Alabama and Ohio State. I mean, he's saying it right there in front of everybody, but also trying to cover it up by saying, you know, I'm not saying that would necessarily be good, but if you want the most eyeballs and you want to make the most money, then this is what you should do. It's fascinating to me. Now, do I disagree? I think the pooling rights, the media pooling rights, is going to be a tough sell, Mike. That's their number one sell. That's the one they're fighting for the most, though. And they kind of hid that with all the basic stuff, the 5-on-5 and NIL transfer stuff. Oh, and by the way, we want to control the contracts, not individual conferences controlling those contracts. That's the biggest thing, and that's the non-starter on both sides. I don't think Congress moves forward with anything without getting agreement on that. And I don't think the SEC or the Big Ten move forward on anything if it's going to impact them. Are both sides wrong? I don't think so. But if you're the SEC, Mike, and you're the Big Ten, are you going along with this? If you're going to lose your control, you're going to tell me that we're going to get less games on the major networks if we do this, and you're going to make room for the Pac-12s and the Mountain Wests and the Big Ten or the Big 12 and the ACC. You're going to punt some of our stuff so that you can put random games in? They're not going to go for that.
Yeah, they're not going for that. That ESPN is kind of doing it right, where they show a lot of those games on their app.
Yep. They want,
but those games just aren't going to be popular enough. Wyoming CSU, that's regional. Washington State, that's regional.
Yep.
You want Florida State, that's more national.
And that's the biggest pushback on this. And I don't disagree. I don't disagree with the Big Ten and the SEC. Part of me hates them. Part of me can't help but respect everything they've done. They built two juggernaut conferences, Mike. And now you're telling me you're going to take away what we built because the other conferences couldn't do it? Like, that's about as unfair as you get. And that's the bad example of government overreach, is that let's make everybody equal.
Because usually when government does that, they make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to solve this is to have... There's a lot of government money involved in college sports, so I can understand why Congress is getting involved. But the best way to do this is to kind of reset everything and say, okay, go from here.
You're going to have to reset the
conferences to make it fair
for
those teams that are never going to make it to the top 24.
Dude, there's nothing. The SEC and the Big Ten would probably go along with the 5-5 and the transfer portal rules to limiting it to just one-time transfer unless you have a reasonable excuse as to why you want to transfer. I'm sure they'd go along with that. NIL, the NIL Go stuff, I think they might even bend there a little bit. That was initially why they balked a week ago, was because of that. But there's more in that. There's more language to it. And the pooling of media rights is the non-starter in all of this. And resetting the conferences, they're not going to go for that. And if it's forced upon them, they're going to leave. And Notre Dame is going to have to make a decision. Do we stay here and be the king of the castle? Or do we walk and go with them and join this new venture?
They would probably walk.
That's a risk, though. That's a risk by Notre Dame. You know, for them to... Because that would be it. You're drawing a line in the sand. There's no crossover. And they would be joining this new idea. And whatever that idea looks like by the Big Ten and the SEC, whether that's, you know, employees, they're making the turning the players into employees as a way to become the miniature NFL so that they can control more. Because that's really the only other answer. Is everybody's throwing out these ideas of how do you control it? How do you get the players from keep the players from getting agents and lawyers and suing you and all this stuff? It's to make them employees and sign them for actual contracts. And the SEC and the Big Ten would have the power and the money to do that. The rest of the NCAA would stay within the confines of college athletics and follow those rules because they don't have the means to do this. I mean, both of these conferences are projected to be at least $40 million higher than the next best as far as money in any conference. Whoever that is, whoever's the, you know, what is it, Florida State? You know, what are the big schools that are making money that are in the ACC and the Big 12?
Florida State, Clemson, Miami.
Yeah. All those schools you're mentioning are projected to be $40 million underneath every team in the Big Ten and the SEC. We're playing two different games. And Florida State wants out, too. Clemson wants out, too. They want to join one of these conferences, but they don't want to eat all the money as far as the exit fee and all that stuff. And the ACC drew up language that makes it very difficult for them to leave, which is why they had a lawsuit. They were fighting each other at the beginning of last season. So you we're talking about two totally different things. And this is why, to your point, when you say you want to hear from other athletic directors that are not members of the Big Ten and the SEC, it does make sense. But you got Teresa Gould up there talking about Olympic sports and how regional conferences. I mean, she's mad. She's pissed because the Pac-12 got destroyed by not adhering to their rules of keeping it regional. She's not happy about that, right? And she's throwing out, well, we got kids on campus or that don't even go to class on campus anymore. We're robbing these kids of being on campus. The SEC and the Big Ten do not care. I do not care if Billy or Jan is in class. I don't care if they're online. We want to make money. That's what this is about. And they're not necessarily wrong.
Look, when I went to college back in 2001 to 2003,
it's a long time ago.
I had one online class that I had to show up to once a week, but that was it.
Yeah, but you're
now
you're
everybody goes online for their class all the time.
Right. So don't. I'm sorry, but
it's not a good argument.
That's not a good argument. I don't care. You're robbing them of campus life. I don't care. There's so many students that go to school and are working. They have to get jobs to keep going to school. They don't get to enjoy the nightlife and the campus scene and all that stuff. They're there to learn and make money and probably work to pay for their education unless they get a full ride scholarship.
Or be like the Miami students in the late 80s, early 90s. Just start cheating to get your money.
Just pick a different argument because you're talking about $40 million. The SEC and the Big Ten are going to have over the next highest earning school in any of those conferences. And you're going to talk to me about robbing the joy of student athletes on campus? Missed me with that one. Totally misfired on that one, Mike. So the more you hear this and the more, you know, Nick Saban and all of them talk, it is hard to hear Nick Saban, Mike, go off on how unfair everything has become because he was a part of that engine for so long. Do I think he would be the right guy to be in charge of this if they do pick a Roger Goodell type of guy? This is the same man that said on air, I don't know why Jim Mora would choose to go to CSU. He said that. I think he was on the Pat McAfee show talking about it. And he looks down on those schools just as much as everybody else, but it started to affect his bottom line and the way he was doing things, so he got pissed about it. But he's the same guy that doesn't truly believe that CSU or Boise State belong, Washington State, Oregon State. He doesn't believe they really belong either. He said as much when talking football, saying, I don't understand why Jim Mora would choose Colorado State. Why would he say that? Because he believes they are lesser. So all of these ideas to go forward, are they really going to help and impact the lesser conferences and the lesser schools? They're not going to make the money. They're trying to set this up as the baseline of helping save all these other sports. If I'm the SEC in the Big Ten, I'm like, good for you. Yeah, keep them going. We're going to do our own thing, man. We're making bank. That's what's going to happen, Mike. I don't know if it's happening next season, but in 5 years, unless this act that they put together gives the SEC and the Big Ten exactly what they want, they will walk. And Senator Cruz is set to meet with the SEC and the Big Ten next week. Do you see them bending to their will, or are they going to keep fighting this? Because what's the point if it's all just going to be the SEC and the Big Ten? Because they're going to say no on the media stuff. We control our own media rights deal like we've always done. They're going to say no to further protection against NIL deals because they want to have that. Unless the salary cap goes up, which they would probably be in favor of, right? I would imagine they would want the salary to double. The hard cap, I would imagine they want that to double. And then, fine, we don't have to mess with third-party deals. We'll just pay them more because they have $20 million. Ohio State had $40 million to use. So they'll probably want that. But the non-starter in all of this is the TV contracts. That's where the money is. And they're not going to change. This is probably not going to pass. And then we're just going to be they're going to meet next week, and they're going to tell Senator Cruz, these are the bullet points here that are not going to work for us. Now, we thought you were coming in to kind of regulate NIL. We thought you were coming in to kind of, you know, do the 5 and 5, little things like that that don't really impact us. And they're going to say, because of all those bullet points you've added, we're not in. 20 minutes after the hour, Mike, let's take a quick break. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Hall of Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, Mike, we got some Bo Nix news. Are you ready?
Yes.
He did not practice at OTAs today.
Oh, my God, the season's over.
He was on the field, according to Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Bo Nix did not practice at OTAs today, but was on the field with his teammates, encouraging. Did not see a brace or anything on his ankle other than shoes and socks.
Bo and was gold chain.
Right in the middle of the offensive mix, talking to the offensive guys all practice. No, he's going to be okay. No brace is a good sign, Michael. Meanwhile,
what you should have said was, brace yourself for this news.
Stop. Why would I do that? Fox Sports NFL. Following a pair of huge trades involving three of the best teams in the NFL, this is where they see the state of each team in the league, Michael. They think the Rams, the Seahawks, who won the Super Bowl, and your Denver Broncos are the front runners this year.
Yeah, I heard some people doubting the Broncos, not going to say who, Brady, saying that the Broncos were just going to get 10 wins.
10 wins is doubting? It's a playoff team.
Yeah, but like the Broncos are going to be number one in the AFC again.
They could be. I mean, the Jaylen Waddle trade, I certainly think, makes them pretty interesting. They addressed one of their major issues, and that was that wide receiver. And now they get one of the top receivers in the league on their team. All of this just depends on, and it's not his ankle, it just depends on Bo Nix. It's a big year for him, man. You know, this year will determine what that next contract's going to look like for him with the Broncos. Title contenders, so below the front runners, they have the New England Patriots, the Buffalo Bills, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Philadelphia Eagles. The playoff locks for them, Bengals, hopefully their defense is better, Houston, Chicago, and Jacksonville. Dangerous teams, which would be their fourth tier, the Chiefs, the Packers, the Lions, and the 49ers.
They didn't put the Chargers up there?
They would be under their fifth tier. Playoff contenders. Chargers, Cowboys, Buccaneers, Falcons, Panthers, and Vikings. Need some help, which would be the sixth tier. Steelers, Colts, Giants, and Washington. Playoff fringe, the Saints and the Titans. Worst teams in the NFL, Mike? Did you notice I haven't mentioned this team yet? They believe we'll finish with the top of the draft picks.
The Browns.
The Browns, the Arizona Cardinals, the Miami Dolphins, the New York Jets, and the Las Vegas Raiders. They are not buying into the hype surrounding the Raiders at all.
Yeah, if the Raiders are going to do something, it's going to be in year three.
A little shocked, I guess, the Falcons move. The Falcons being a playoff contender. Not so sure I'd go there. But as far as front runners, are we prepared? I know you are, but are we prepared to say the Broncos are the top three team going into the season? A top three?
Yes, absolutely.
Over the Bills, who they beat. Over the Ravens, over the Eagles, over the New England Patriots.
They got stronger in the offseason. Didn't lose a lot.
They did.
Gained a lot.
They did. But the argument for that is how they won their games last year. How Denver won their games last year against a very easy schedule. So I'm not ready to say they're a front runner.
You and I are going to have to agree to disagree.
Well, you say they're a front runner every year, Mike. Their quarterback could be Russell Nimitz. And you'd say, oh, they're going to go undefeated.
You didn't know this, but Russell Nimitz can lace it. He can just lace a spiral down the field 100 yards.
You're delusional every year, so your take on the Broncos is just hard to get my mind around. I don't really disagree with this list here. Playoff locks, the Bengals, that one's kind of interesting because the Bengals were a 6-win team last year, but with a healthy Joe Burrow, does that improve their win-loss by, what, 4 or 5 games, maybe? So, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't think they make the playoffs, but they're right on the edge.
Houston
they
was
do
12
play
five.
The Steelers, who aren't going to be very good. And they do play the Browns, who are terrible. So they'll be second in their division.
Broncos are going to have to survive that first 6 games, Mike. That's going to tell us a lot about what this team can do. Because if they're 2-4 after the Seahawks game, which will be on October 15th on Prime Video, then it's going to be, they'd have to recover because then the schedule certainly gets easier. But if you're 2-4, you're going to have to go on a massive run. I do have them beating the Chiefs, I believe, that first game of the season. Jacksonville's going to be extremely difficult. The Rams, they're the first name on this front runner. And if they bring Aaron Donald in, we talked about that yesterday, I don't know who's beating Los Angeles. And the Broncos play them week 3. And you go to San Francisco. Now, what's interesting here, Mike, they have, the Fox Sports reporters put this list together. They have the Niners as a dangerous team. That one, I think I did have the Broncos winning. Faith says, I feel if Burrow can stay healthy this season, he may be done with football by how he talked last season. That's an interesting one because if can't stay healthy, sorry. Oh, yeah, if he gets another injury, Mike, based on everything we kept hearing from Joe Burrow, are you having fun doing this? And he just kind of stopped. He's like, I don't know. If he gets hurt again, I could totally see him going the way of Andrew Luck, which would be kind of sad because he's a hell of a quarterback. He's a very fun player to watch.
Yeah, he really is. It's unfortunate when some of those, I'd say especially Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was a great guy, and he was hard to root against even as someone who hated Stanford. You just love the dude, and he was so talented, and he worked so hard, and he doesn't mind getting hit. It was hard to see that happen. It's hard to see this happen to someone who's so good.
Yeah, I think this will be a big year for him. To give him a better outlook on his career. Because if he goes down again and he misses a lengthy amount of time, I can 100% see him thinking this is probably not for me anymore.
Also, if he was the quarterback of the Broncos and was getting hurt, I don't think he'd be nearly as negative. He's with the second poorest franchise. I think they're the poorest franchise cash poor. And the Raiders were I don't remember what it is. One has less cash, one has less overall. But it's unfortunate that he is put in that situation. It's unfortunate
it's the
that
Bengals,
all
man.
These great
the
quarterbacks.
Bengals.
Like, how many great quarterbacks would have had a Hall of Fame career if they weren't drafted by that one team that didn't know how to use them?
Yeah, you look at, was it Carson Palmer? When he left Cincinnati and he went to Arizona, right?
Yeah, went to the Raiders, then Arizona.
Then Arizona, yeah, you're right.
Once he got to Arizona, like, he was
started
good.
To turn his career around.
Who was it? Who's the Seahawks quarterback?
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold. Great example.
Yeah.
Drafted at a different organization. A terrible place and gets to a city that knows what football is and starts playing well. And then goes to another city where that knows what football what is and starts playing well.
Let me ask this. Let's go back to the Broncos on this. What is the buy-in for – be real. Like, for the Broncos to be considered front runners from Fox, from the NFL crew at Fox, the buy-in has to be they believe Bo Nix is going to take it to that next level. Because their defense was elite. And offense, again – this is why when Bo got hurt, I was like, I don't know. I don't know how much that decreases or increases their chances of beating the Patriots, weather be damned. The buy-in is that Bo Nix is not going to just be a fourth quarter guy. He's going to be a top-tier quarterback next year because that's the next level for this team.
You finally have a weapon to throw downfield. You're not just hitting within 15 yards. You not just have your most dependable guy covered by the top corner. Like, you now have a legit down-the-field
weapon.
Well,
we talked
weapon.
About it, like, what this does for Cortland Sutton. Like, he might be the one, really. He might still be receiver number one as far as stats go. You know, because there's going to be a lot of attention paid to Jalen Waddle, and this might make Cortland Sutton have one of those, like a career year.
The career year that you thought he'd have last year. I thought he'd be better, too. It's just... some of the wide receivers that the Broncos drafted just haven't panned out.
He was close to having a career year. I mean, that was his third best year overall. Not touchdown production. Actually, yeah, his third best year with touchdowns, yards. He actually also his second best in terms of receptions. But imagine him now with actually... because the Broncos had fine receivers. They were fine. Just... nobody that you're really drawing up heavy on that scouting report.
And no one's going to go, we got to double team this guy.
No, now you have
to. We got to double team him because he could burn us.
Yeah, and now you're going to have a lot more safety eyes on Jalen Waddle, and that's going to
open up
things
the run
for
game
Sutton.
Too.
Yeah. No, we can't underestimate just how big of a move that is for the Broncos with Jalen Waddle. So if they are going to do this, I believe the defense is going to be good again. I can't sit here and say they're going to be as good as they were last year, because to do that 3 years in a row and to be an elite defense, man, like that's tough to do. I still think they'll be good because, like you talked about earlier, they didn't lose a lot.
And let's asterisk all of this. The Broncos went like 5 years in a row without having a full roster. Like, they were 50 to 70% healthy. That affected their coaches as well, because the coaches didn't have the top players playing.
Yeah.
But if
defensively,
you are healthy, if all these teams are healthy.
Right, yes. And defensively, they stayed healthy the last 2 years for the most part.
I think some of that has to do with the Walmarts. The Walmarts are replacing the field, the Walmarts with new facilities. I think they focused so much on health. They're like, okay, we need more resources to keep these guys healthy. It's the exact opposite of the Cleveland Indians in Major League.
Yeah, it's a decent point, because that just doesn't happen the way the Broncos have stayed healthy with such a great, impactful unit on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and the Chiefs have been lucky, too, over the last few years. They stayed healthy, and that allowed them to win the Super Bowl.
I think a lot of this, too, is... as much as you want to talk about Jalen Waddle, I think a lot of this you have to look at J.K. Dobbins. Or is R.J. Harvey going to be more than just a joker guy that gets touchdowns or whatever? Is he actually a dude? Yeah.
You got to work on that vision.
Yeah. Well, and how about Jonah Coleman? The guy you're pretty damn high on, Michael.
Look, I think he's going to be a solid number. I think he can be a third down back. Because he can block.
Do you think he could overtake R.J. Harvey's role? Like, he could be the second back on the depth chart?
He's tough to tackle. I think he's just going to be a different type of running back. I think he was drafted because he can play on third downs. And the Broncos don't have a third down guy who can block really well.
If you can get both of those guys to work out, R.J. Harvey have a good follow-up year? Because, again, he was a touchdown machine. It was just everything else. And if Jonah Coleman can be somewhat good, then you take a lot of that pressure off J.K. Dobbins, because he's not a back that you want to give much more than like 15 carries a game to.
He's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
He's never had
a season where he's played the full season.
There's no Mike Allstott anymore. Mike Allstott did get some injuries, but like that guy was dependable. You don't have that person anymore.
Of course he's not Mike Allstott, but he's not a guy that can stay healthy, and that's the big thing for him. He says he's going to prove everyone wrong. Okay. We haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, the way he runs, though, is going to be tough.
He's really going to have to figure out how to take care of that body. Yes, on the First Advantage text line. Defense will still be good, but the question is, did other offenses get better to overshadow how good the defense is? I mean, you're a lot of times, you know, it's not necessarily a copycat league. It's how do you take down the teams that are projected to be in the top tier this year? And you look at, like, Kansas City, for example. I know you don't want to hear this, but you get Patrick Mahomes healthy. They went and made a significant pickup in the offseason getting Kenneth Walker. So being able to run the ball against a tough defense is going to be critical for
them. That's not the Broncos' strength. The stopping the run game, not the Broncos' strength.
If you can stop
the pass game, absolutely. You're probably going to have to ask your safety, hey, safety, stay healthy, because you're going to be making some tackles. You're going to play middle linebacker number two.
First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I mean, defensively last year for Denver, if there was a weakness, it was their rushing attack. Or it was stopping the run. But it wasn't that much of a weakness, Mike. It really wasn't. Because they were, what, second or third in the league in rushing yards allowed per game? So if you want to say that stopping the run was a weakness, maybe the middle linebacker situation was kind of a weakness. That's a good problem to have, because they were still pretty damn good.
Yeah. You have some hard workers. You have some blue-collar guys. They're so blue, they're navy blue. That's how hard they work. Not the most talented, but they'll help.
41 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on KFKA.
Forty-six minutes after the hour, Big City Roadhouse. Man, I love this place. A fun, energetic, casual atmosphere with that true roadhouse feel. They are second to none, man. And now they're doing breakfast burritos every day, 10 o'clock to noon, and they're as good as advertised. Let me just say, Mike, they are as good as advertised.
It looked very appetizing.
Mm-hmm. I might have to do that. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. I might do that tomorrow.
Yeah, you should order some.
No, I'll probably just go by myself.
Oh.
Yeah. You're going to owe me anyway when the Rockies get to whatever it is, 60 wins.
Yeah. Well, I think what the bet should be, and this actually hurts me, but it should be whoever's closest.
I agree.
Not Price is Right rules.
I agree.
If you go
I'm gonna get there.
Over, it doesn't matter. It's whether you
who's closest. I get it. It's not rocket science, Mike. But Big City Roadhouse, check them out today. They're on 59th Avenue, where the old Cables was located. 47 minutes after the hour, Mike. What did we learn coming up next? It's The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Tickets to the Greeley Stampede right here, thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend.
What do we learn today on this Thursday, June 4th? Michael Faith already chiming in. I learned that Michael needs to jump back on the X train so we can be entertained.
What was the X train before it became the X train?
Twitter?
But it used to be a train, so what is it now?
We also learned that I believe Notre Dame's athletic director, Pete Bavakwa, kind of talking out both sides of his mouth here. The more we talk about it, the more I think about it, it's very unrealistic that this is going to pass. I really believe that. I mean, there's some serious editing that would need to take place. We also learned that Bo Nix is there. He's walking around, but he's not actually practicing at OTAs, Mike.
Well, they're probably holding him out because, you know, precaution and all.
What did you learn today?
I learned that this college football thing, the legislation, is so much less popular with the Big Ten and the SEC than with everybody else.
We also learned that Chris McFarlane, pretty emotional about leaving Colorado, but it was a job he just couldn't refuse with the promotion and probably the money.
Well, he's probably sad that he's not going to get a championship next year and he's going to have to rebuild an awful Predators.
Well, he'll get a chance to test just how good he really is, I suppose. We're going to find out pretty quickly if it was more Chris McFarland or if it was, in fact, Joe Sakic. We also learned that I believe Jared Bednar's not only going to be not let go, I think they're going to give him a contract extension. I think they're going to sign him for another 2 years.
I guess I would be okay with that.
I think I'd be
okay. I understand both ways.
You can't go into the season. You can't have your coach go into the season with 1 foot in the door and 1 foot out the door. And I think that's where the thinking will come from with the Colorado Avalanche. All right, Mike, tomorrow we'll have a fun show. We'll get you some more Broncos updates, as well as our movie review. We got Varsity Blues, Mike. Did you watch it yet? Probably not. That's what we're reviewing tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
The chances that I watch it are 50-50.
Good. Derbs won't let me down. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.